What a wonderful season. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we're going to tell the Christmas story today from Scripture, and we're going to talk about the purpose of the birth of Jesus. What difference does it make for us? What is the story of Christmas all about? If you're visiting, welcome to you. My name is David Bornman. It's my privilege to lead the team of elders here. There is a lunch afterwards made by Bob G. and Alan Nakano. Hope you can stay for that. And what else have we got going? Christmas Eve, you want to be back here at 11 o'clock for a traditional Christmas carol candlelit service, or at 4 o'clock to see the children tell the Christmas story. Christmas, that wonderful story about Jesus, the baby in a manger, the shepherds, the wise men. What's that all about? Mary and Joseph. Why is it that after 2010 years, this story still has so much appeal? So much power, so much appeal, so much draw that every department store in the world capitalizes on it. Wow! Isn't that amazing? In a nutshell, Christmas is the story about God coming to people because people are no longer able to go to Him. It's a story about God coming to us because we couldn't go to Him. The baby in a manger is a story about God taking on human nature so that He could actually come and take our death sentence in our place. So when we celebrate Mary, Joseph, the wise men, the baby in a manger, we're celebrating God coming to earth to take on human form so that He could replace us in the death penalty. Why would God do such a thing? John sums it up. 1 John chapter 3, he sums it up as saying, "The reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." Wow. What's this all about, this baby in a manger stuff? It's about God on a mission to destroy Satan's work. John goes on to say, "No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him, and he cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God." The goal of Jesus coming in human form is that Jesus would also live in each of us, our human form, be filled by the seed of God, His own life, and that that would transform our lives so that we wouldn't keep missing the mark. That's what the word sin means. But rather that we would begin to live the life of Christ on earth. So Christmas is about Jesus stepping into our earth in order to destroy Satan's work. He comes not just to take away our punishment, but He also comes to grow inside of us like a seed that takes over our lives, to transform us into His life. Peter summed up the birth of Jesus like this: "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake." The story about Jesus was God's plan long before He made the world, long before Satan caused trouble. The story of Jesus was in God's plan, revealed in the last times for our sake. Verse 23, 1 Peter 1, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." Jesus, when He was speaking about the Holy Spirit, He said to His disciples, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you, and He will be in you." The story of Christmas is a story about God coming to be with us, but more than that, coming to be in us, to transform us. He will be with you and in you. I've asked four people to help us by reading from the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. If you're not familiar with these stories, you might want to go home and just open up the first book of the New Testament, read the chapters in the first part of Matthew, and then flip two books later to Luke and read the first couple chapters of Luke, and you'll hear the full story. But if you guys could come, Judy and Charlie, Mariana and Art, come on up and read to us what the scripture says about when Jesus was born.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what God says he will do."
This is Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25, the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
This is when Jesus was presented in the temple. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. It's from Luke 2, 21 to 35.
Thank you very much. And so we have the account of the birth of Jesus. The account of Jesus appearing to destroy Satan's work, starting with a barn, lying in a feed trough, cows and sheep around. God coming to destroy Satan's work, appearing to and through a young virgin, Mary. God announces this incredible news to the least important of society, the shepherds. And he says, peace. Peace on earth. Peace to who? To the people. To men on whom his favor rests. Not just peace to those who he has favor, but the fact is that his favor is upon people. And he's saying, peace to people. I've come to you to say peace. I want relationship with you. Jesus announced to these people as the Son of David, one with an eternal kingdom, announced as the Holy One, the Son of God, Jesus, which means Savior, Emmanuel, which means God with us, Christ the Lord, the Lord's Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. Prophecy fulfilled. The times have come to pass. God has arrived to help his people. When you think about Christmas, you might walk away this morning saying, how would I sum that up? What is Jesus' birth all about? I would sum it up with two concepts. The first one is that Jesus is the light. And the second one, that God is with us. Simeon described Jesus as one who would be light of revelation to the Gentiles. Jesus is the light. This is about God bringing his illumination to a dark, dark world. It reminds me of this one place that I didn't like to go when I was a child. My brother and I had the daily task of feeding 90 head of cattle out in the feedlot behind the barn. It wasn't too bad, except in the wintertime, when you had to go around the barn through this path. On the west side of the barn, there was this giant cottonwood tree that in the wintertime didn't have any leaves, and it just looked very ghostly. And you left the light of the barnyard and the house to go around the west side, and suddenly the winter wind would hit you full face, whipping around the corner of the barn. And at the same moment, you were in the shadow and the light went out, and your eyes hadn't adjusted yet, and you couldn't see anything except this one path in the snow around to the feedlot. I don't know if it was the stories my parents read me or what, but I just knew that there was some panther was going to drop out of that tree onto my neck and slice me to pieces, or those various pieces of equipment that were leaning around the barn, kind of half covered in snow that you couldn't quite see in the shadows, and you knew one of them was probably the boogeyman was going to jump out and get you. And so you had to daily run this course of entering the valley of the shadow of death on the west side of the barn. A people walking in darkness. But once in a while, just as you were about to enter the valley, a tractor or a truck would pull into the driveway behind you, and the whole place was lit up, and it was wonderful. You could see that it was just a piece of scaffolding. It was just a board against the wall. The tree didn't have any animals, no rabid coons waiting to jump at me. And you could just walk like, I know that was okay. It's cool. And I went around, you went to the feedlot to take care of the barn, or the cows. The Bible says that the people were walking in darkness. And Simeon says, this Jesus who was born was a light. But he wasn't just headlights that momentarily lit up the path. He was the light that was with you. Like more often than not in those winter months, we would light the Coleman lantern and take it with us so the light would never leave us or forsake us. And we would take our trusty Coleman lantern down that path out to the barnyard, to the feedlot, to feed the cattle. And we had the light with us. Isaiah saw Jesus many, many years before, and he prophesied what Matthew later said had been fulfilled. Isaiah said it this way, chapter 9, verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. Isaiah saw Jesus' day as a light that had dawned upon people living in the shadow of death in darkness. Jesus' birth is a light. It illuminates our way. It shows us the way of God. In fact, Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Without him, we are walking around in darkness. We're just stumbling along our way and not finding anything. But Jesus, if you follow Jesus, he will be a light for your path. He will show you the way. Jesus said he is the light of the earth, and if you follow him, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. Jesus, the light of the world. For you and I, you don't have to walk in darkness. Not only is Jesus a light, but the second concept is he's with us. He's not just that flashing headlight for a moment that says, oh, there's the way, now keep trying on your own. He doesn't just show you the truth and then leave you to figure it out for yourself. Rather, Jesus is the light that then lives within you. He is God with us. And so one of his names is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isaiah went on later in chapter 9, verse 6, to say, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God with us, the child for us, the son given for us, the eternal government that only increases in its peace. Paul described Jesus being with us in the book of Colossians. He described God with us as God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him. The fullness of God was dwelling in Jesus, step one. And through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. How did God do this? He sent himself as a baby in a barn, so that he could take on human nature for the purpose of reconciling, bringing back the world to himself. For the very purpose of, through his sacrifice on the cross, he would bring mankind into a right relationship again with him. We don't have to live under the fear of God's wrath. We don't live under the fear of what I did wrong. Someone paid the price for us. His name is Jesus. And at Christmas, we're celebrating that day when God stepped into earth to begin this grand plan of taking on our human nature in all of its depravity and paying for it. Paul goes on down in verse 27 of chapter 1 of Colossians, speaking about you and I. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mercy, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery that could not be figured out through all those prophetic years was made known through Jesus to you and I. The mystery is that God would live in us. That God would find a way to live in us. Total acceptance, total union, total restoration. No longer would people be put out of the Garden of Eden, unable to come to God. But through Jesus, we can have fellowship with God. More than just a flashing illumination, but God in us and with us, the hope of glory. Every year, more and more and more people say yes to Jesus. Every year, more and more people have the revelation that God has revealed himself and wants them in his presence. Every year, more and more people believe that the promise is for them too. We still live in a world where many, many people reject God. Where many, many people say, I'm good enough myself, I don't need you. And they keep walking in darkness, and they keep floundering in their own way. But each year, more and more people realize that Jesus is for you. He loves you. He's come to say peace to you, to pay for it for you. The grand plan, we read the summary in Revelation chapter 21. John says, he heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God. This is what God has been working towards ever since man was put out of the Garden of Eden because of our sin. But his goal is that man would be restored, and he's done that by destroying the work of Satan and saying on the cross, it's finished. The way is open now. You too can accept the promise and the provision of Jesus and know him personally. The birth of Jesus is about the light of God coming to light our dark path and about God coming to be in us and with us. The choir is going to sing for us, and there'll be a few songs that we can join in as well as they tell more of this story.